Well, welcome back, and thank you for joining me. This is a time, it's always an honor for me to present the Word, so I'm going to encourage you to take your Bibles in hand or your electronic Bibles and be prepared. Take your Bibles and open to Matthew chapter 11. That's where we're going today. And naturally, to finish off the clip that we just saw of Psalm 103, what a wonderful promise where Scripture is just saying, boy, bless the Lord, O my soul. There's things that God has for our soul to renew us, and I'm believing that's what God's going to do for us today, a miraculous rejuvenation of the soul because of what God has done through His Son, Jesus. And you know me, I always like to start the message with a little bit of humor, so I just want to add, you know what a small joke means or is, right? A small joke really is a mini ha-ha. There it is. I just thought I'd throw that out there. How about a small miniature message? That's just a ha-ha, but I will be going quickly. I want to just add a little story I heard. I thought it was quite humorous. A man who was driving around the city, and he wrote a note on his windshield for the traffic cop. He said in the note, "I have circled this block for 20 minutes, and I can't find a parking space. If I am late for work again, I will get fired." And he wrote in there, "Forgive us our trespasses." Well, he came back for lunch to move his vehicle. He found a ticket with a note and says, "I've been circling this block for 20 years, and if I don't give you a ticket, I will lose my job." And he wrote, "Do not lead us into temptation." Well, it's kind of interesting how things are and how we can kind of bring the Scripture in, and we certainly want to do that today. Today's message is entitled, Rest for the Weary. Rest for the Weary. And I want to just encourage you with Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to verse 30. Jesus is talking to those who are weary in spirit. And so we take a look at verse 28. Let me read, and as we do, Father, open our hearts. As we open the Word, open our hearts and allow us to see the things that you have for us. Because you do have a rest for our souls. There's benefits that you have for us being covenant people. Those who have professed faith in Jesus, illuminate our understanding now in Jesus' name. It's interesting, the Lord Jesus said to his audience, and now you and I are those audience, and that is, come to me, he says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, we're going to take those verses and kind of break them down just a little bit. This message kind of came about because of some of the mail I have been receiving, and one in particular I want to share from a young mother, a very industrious lady I really respect well. Let me read her email to me. It says, Pastor Paul, thank you for the very encouraging messages you've been bringing to me. I have seen many moms posting on their social media pages, and one reached out to me directly of the great challenges that they're having personally being mothers, homemakers, and full-time teachers, hoping you and Ainsley can join us in continued special and specific prayer for the struggling and tired moms of Hope Chapel and within the community. Real rest seems to be hard to obtain across the board due to schedules, lack of help due to social distancing, and being overwhelmed and guilt for wanting a break. But we know Jesus can bring peace in just a moment when we call on Him. Well, we're believing for that. This message is really for you who are weary, you who are needing that rest, and God promises that. It's important because there is a thought that's out there, a teaching out there, that the absence of problems, the absence of just issues, will provide us the peace or the rest we need. But Jesus is saying, come to Him. So we're taking a look at that. We do find that there are many people who are carrying what Jesus describes as that yoke. They're carrying something on them that is really a burden that God does not want them to have. So as we just take a look at some of the mail that's coming in, that yoke or that burden of being tired or discouraged or hopeless or burdened, feeling helpless, wanting to give up, wanting that area, just the pressures of daily life to escape from that, or feeling of exhaustion, and they just cannot anticipate a relief. We're believing God's going to bring that relief for us this very day, this very moment. In our notes here, I want to highlight, because we're talking about baggage we hold on to. Baggage we hold on to. It's interesting about baggage, because when I talk about the yoke, Jesus talking about basically in a very farm industry or community, a yoke would be really saddled on two animals, and that the equal pressure or carrying of the load by two animals would be so much easier, so much quicker. And Jesus saying, take my yoke upon you. Sometimes we just take yoke on with no one helping us, and that can be quite a burden. I don't know what your baggage might be. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody who overpack on their journeys. I think it's worth noting, sometimes people overpack. It's the way we even live our lives. I remember when I was 22 years of age, and the pastor said, Paul, would you be our junior high youth pastor? I was single at the time. I was going to Bible college. And I said, wow, that sounds great. And basically, on our first summer camp out to Camp Cedar Crest, I had a whopping sign up of four girls that decided to go. And so there we were. We were ready to go to summer camp, not knowing how much gear four girls can accumulate. And it wasn't going to fit into my Datsun B210. I had a Datsun B210. It was brown in color, nicknamed the Roach. Anyway, so with that, my brother Bob loaned me his Ford Ranger with a shell, and those four girls and I went up to summer camp, and it was a lot of fun, but a lot of luggage. Sometimes we just carry so much luggage, we need to lighten that load. What would the baggage be that you might have? How could you tell if you're carrying something that maybe even God doesn't want you to carry? Those things can manifest itself by reason of just hypertension that can ensue, or migraine headaches that can come, other areas of just ulcers that can develop, or even arthritis. Some say that when people are carrying burdens, it just develops in areas of nervous exhaustion because of just insomnia. So let's believe for a miracle this morning, shall we? Let me take a look at three things with you. I call them the three ifs, I-Fs. It really may be an acronym for I failed, but let's not call anybody a failure. That's not where God goes. He doesn't call us a failure. I'm so grateful for that. He really calls us his beloved. He loves us. He really has things for us. And sometimes we carry things that would hold us back from God's very best. That's what we're wanting for you today. But our first area of baggage, number one, I call it past baggage. This is called regret. Past baggage of regret. The if only I could have been, if only I would have done this, if only I was not at that situation at that time. It's accumulation of just looking back over past failures and regrets. It's that rear view mirror that we are looking back and really missing out with what God has for us in the future. So we have to be careful about that. We can't go back to the past, but it's amazing how the past can really keep us back from moving in the direction that God has for us. I really like what Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says this, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead." Past, it's amazing because the past can affect us so. And the Apostle Paul says, one thing I do. What is that, the Apostle Paul? What is it that you would do? One thing, here it is, forgetting those things that are behind. Why? Why for him? You can imagine when he was Saul before Paul, he had a lot of things he would want to forget. I'm sure even people brought it up to his attention. Hey, weren't you the persecutor of the church? Weren't you the one that held the coats while people were stoning the first Christian martyr, Stephen? People would probably bring that up for a season. Can you imagine? One thing I do, he says, I forget those things that are behind, but I am going on for what is ahead. Boy, that's great. Past baggage. If only I wasn't that way in my past. So it's important for us. And if we were to follow the Apostle Paul's his example, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." So he needed some role model in his life. Man, that was Jesus. And isn't it great to follow people that resemble Jesus or model Jesus to us? So it's important for us. We do need to be honest. It's helpful to be honest. We all make mistakes. We all fail. Life brings on those situations. It's helpful for us to recognize we have probably made mistakes in our past. It's what we have done with them, how we hang on to them. We've all made mistakes, like we all have a belly button, right? But it's important for us to acknowledge that. I make mistakes. Matter of fact, you might want to go ahead and look right now into somebody's eye around the room there and just tell them, I, it's hard for me to even say that. I make mistakes sometime. Let them know that. And so you'll come along and just let them say, I know that. I know that. It's kind of helpful. It's kind of freeing to come along and just admit it, that we have those areas that we probably regret, because it really sets us free when we say, I do make mistakes sometimes. Somebody once said this, that a clear conscience usually means the sign of a bad memory, but it is important for us to move on and see what's happening. Secondly, it's the present baggage that we want to be mindful of as well, and that's called really stress. Stress, and I call it the if I. The stress element happens when there are things that are happening currently, probably as issues are abounding in the present condition. That's where we can really take care of things. We can handle that. But even there can be such an anxiety that develops. I like 1 Peter chapter 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your anxiety, one translation says. Another one says, cast all your worry to God because he cares for you passionately. And it's important for us to recognize the importance of what it is to cast even those feelings of anxiety in the present. Wow, what if happens? So it's important for us to recognize that. There'll be people say, boy, Pastor, well, I don't know if I could do what you do. Listening to issues and handling things that just crop up, the unknown. Really, that's why I pray. And it's important for me to just realize, boy, Lord, I'd like to be able to help everyone, but I know that I'm not the Savior of the world. And so to cast my cares for those that I come across, those that I love, I know the Lord loves you. Maybe dealing with something currently, how God is ready to just set you free. It's not the absence of problems. It's that you can have a rest for your soul and a peace that comes right now. I really like that. It's important for us. Usually what happens to me is issues come and I hear, if it's not my own dilemmas I'm dealing with, that it's somebody else or situations that are happening around our community, within our church, and it's usually about 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how that is. All of a sudden my light bulbs come on. It's like, oh, that's dreadful. And I cannot sleep. My mind seems to be rested, and I'm coming up with ideas or solutions or no idea how to resolve it. But I often will recite 1 Peter 5:7, casting all our cares to him, because he cares for us. He cares for you. Lord, I can't bear this worry and anxiety. I take the feeling now, not so much even the prayer request, I take the feeling and give it to you, because I know you're very mindful and caring as well. God doesn't always automatically take the worry, fear, and dread off of us. He really is waiting for us to cast it to him. I don't know if you enjoy playing catch with a young person. I enjoy that. Even frisbee. You know when you release a ball playing catch with a family member, you know when you've cast that ball or you've flung that frisbee to the other person, you know because you've released it, now somebody else has it. That's what God wants to do with our present challenges that we're facing. Psalm chapter 55, verse 22, it's a wonderful psalm. It literally says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord. Isn't that a privilege that we have as covenant believing in God people? why don't you consider doing that? If that's not a pattern of you and daily situations happen, please say, Lord, I don't want to feel so overwhelmed with anxiety and worry. How about number three? Let's take a look at that. That's future baggage. This is called worry. Future baggage is the what if. What if something does not happen in the future? It's amazing. People envision disaster for those that we love, isn't it? It's like, oh, it's going to be the worst possible things. And those are future baggage. Hasn't even happened yet. Probably will never happen. But we are out there just worrying about something that will not take place. And we consider even the temptation that God may not give us what we really need in the future, that he somehow is going to not be around if we lose our job or if somehow sickness ensues or a burglar comes in. It's this constant worry about the future. That's baggage for the future. Somebody said that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't go anywhere with it. It's terrible just to sit there and do nothing with it. In Matthew chapter 6, I like where Jesus said, really, do not worry about tomorrow. In Matthew 6, 33 and 34, his word says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. So there's really only 2 days that we're to worry about, according to Scripture. One is the soon return of Jesus, the day, capital D, and the present day, dealing with just life issues today. I do like the fact, well, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, where it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ. Worry about nothing, but pray about everything. And dear friends, if you've not accustomed your life in doing that, what does that look like? Once again, casting the worry, the anxiety, because God's word says do that. Cast all your worry to God, because he cares for you. It sure helps when we pray then. It says, worry about nothing, pray about everything, and it's an amazing thing how the peace of God starts to come. It really helps me to train my eye for what I'm looking for, and what am I looking for? What should you be looking for? Training our eyes for God's existence in situations, or even in the past, instead of training our eye for God's absence. There's a difference there. Many people are focused on where God may not be, when we really need him. But wouldn't it be great, just like Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's not forget all his benefits, what he has done for us. I like that so much. It's wonderful to be able to consider that. So there's really two kinds of people that really pray. There are those that handle all by themselves, every situation. They are their own make it or break people. We'd say, wow, that's pretty impressive. But that's not the way Almighty God wants to have a relationship with each individual. The second group of people are those that will bring something to God in prayer, and that's probably 90% of the people I know, something to God in prayer. That's usually the stressful things or the out-of-control problems. And then we get into real issues because the in-between. But you know, the Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread, those things that you're going to need. Isn't it nice that it's a reminder to pray, just simply talk. That's what prayer is. Talk to God. He hears everything. He looks forward to our visit with him, kind of like Adam in the cool of the evening. Let's spend that time with the Lord. But it is important, daily bread, or seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, you know what today holds, and I know you're going to meet those needs today. Not visit God once on a Sunday and then see what comes about all week long. Give us our weekly bread or even our monthly bread and only come up to God in prayer when we have a specific urgent need. So it's important. It's important for us. I do remember being in a meeting where we were wrestling with issues. It was a business meeting. It wasn't a church meeting. And somebody actually said we should probably pray right now. And a person on the other side of the table says, "Dear Lord, has it come to this?" Can you imagine somebody saying that? Still shocks me to think about that. Prayer should be the first. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, let's highlight Matthew chapter 11, Jesus' word, God's rest versus heavy load, because that's really our indicator here, God's rest versus heavy load. I'm sure I'm talking to some of you who are young in the Lord. Does not mean young physically, but it just means young in your walking out of life with God. Maybe still being discipled, learning how to apply the word. People's patterns typically are they get saved, there's a tremendous peace, and they realize that's what I was looking for. That happened to me. I remember the day I gave my life to Jesus, I said, that is exactly what I've been looking for. It wasn't religious formality. It wasn't even a bunch of rules and duties. It was Jesus. And a great peace and a calm came over. But then as you know and I know, Jesus does say, in this life you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it. So he's very transparent with us. And when life comes on, sometimes people who have not been discipled or haven't really walked out situations with the Lord, we return back to dealing with problems with the old garbage. Don't do that. That's why Jesus came along and so clearly when he says, "Won't you cooperate with me?" Again, verse 28 of Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Isn't that a wonderful promise? Come to him. It's amazing because in that setting, there was so much religious formality among the Jewish community. The religious leaders had so many rules. It was burdening people. They weren't sure they were right with God. They were always being really suppressed by religion, wondering maybe God's upset with us. And Jesus comes on the scene and he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." Jesus is so the answer. He says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And he says, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." He starts talking about how his way is so much easier. Have you found that to be the case with Jesus? Let's take a look at that just a little bit, because for you who are feeling very tired or discouraged or hopeless or burdened in any way, maybe there's someone or something, or maybe you yourself have put some form of game plan together and it's just so oppressive. It's like, who will deliver me from that? There is rest for the weary, and God wants to bring that to us. Number one, look at that again in Matthew 11, 28, says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." The bullet point here that I have on my notes, submit to the strategy of God for you. That's important for us to consider that. What does that look like to submit? God has things in a new lifestyle, in a new way. It's so important for us. If you can, and you're writing notes, and I believe that you are, I'm so grateful for you who know to take notes, not trust your memory, but write down Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through Hebrews 4, verse 11. The writer of Hebrews is citing historical documentation. Psalm 95 talks about that. Talks about how God, Almighty God, brought out the nation of Israel from slavery, from the Nile region along the Mediterranean and up to Canaan. It would have probably taken them 1 year into the promised land. Isn't that a great thing? When we take a look how wonderfully God was going to bring them into all his promises. But they took a hard right and went down really to the Sinai Peninsula to Kadesh Barnea. And they started to complain. They just did not like the environment. They did not like the way God was treating them. They complained. I mean, who really, to some extent, could blame somebody? 400 years of slave labor in Egypt, could really cause a person just to learn how to get their needs through complaining instead of just trusting the Lord. And that's what God was asking. There's a rest for you, the people of God, if you will just submit to the strategy of God in your life. Lord, you know everything. You know what's happening. I trust you. I submit my life to you. I'm going to let go of any excess baggage that I think I need to do. Lord, my life is totally yours. Boy, it's wonderful when you do that. Heard about a lady who went into the counselor and she said, I am so overwhelmed with such care and burdens that I have excessive migraine headaches because of my responsibility. And counselor says, well, sit on down here. Tell me about it. 3 hours later, she says, my headaches are gone. And the counselor says, well, dear lady, they're not gone. I now have them. It's an amazing thing how that can happen when you pass things on. Carry that. Be careful about that. Sometimes you who are married, you who are self-quarantined with others in your family, you're concerned to the point of anxiety, and you are pounding your family member or your spouse saying, how come you don't worry about this as much as I do? Well, that's just not fair, is it? That somehow you want them to carry the burden. Jesus is saying, come unto me, all you that labor. It's a new day for you and I who are Christians to say, oh Lord, I want to bring this to you. I want to trust you. Second point, as we take a look here on Matthew chapter 11, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And really, I want to just add, my bullet point is to discover God's timing for events in your life. That's a wonderful thing. It really requires patience to learn to wait on the Lord. Learn from God. I don't know what it's like for you to just pick up the Word of God and read it. Just read it. Every day you'll get something of God's revelation. You know, I go to the mailbox and boy, I get a lot of mail. A lot of mail. And most of it's junk mail. I'm not even talking emails that go into my junk folder, but I'm talking just legitimate mail. And if you're like me, you don't even bother looking. You can identify junk mail. You're looking for those personal things or bills. And then all of a sudden, you realize I'm just going to dump that, just trash that. Well, there's one thing that we don't want to trash, and that is the Word of God. How many times would you or I go past this Word? The Word is not full of junk. It's real life-giving. Learn from God. To pick up the Word of God and to read it. It's an amazing thing. Learn from Jesus. Learn from God. Boy, the love of God desires only what is best for us. The wisdom of God only knows what is best for us. And I like the power of God will only provide the best for us. Boy, the love of God, the wisdom of God, and the power of God is all yours because of His great love for you. Learn from God. Number three, you'll find rest for your souls. Jesus said that. Something about that, and that's what we're taking a look at, rest for the weary. But my bullet point is that refusing to really fall to the temptation of distrusting God's involvement. Boy, that's important. There can be those times that we are tempted to do things ourselves and we are going to figure out things for ourselves and we know we do need physical rest, but boy, the stress just moves us out of that area thinking God's not going to do it, I've got to come up with it, but we don't wait for the Lord. We'll find rest for our souls. It's like, how do I know when that burden is lifted? Well, it really is like a laundry bag. If I'm carrying a laundry bag over my shoulder and I release it, I know when it's off of my shoulders. The weight is gone. And you will know too that that burden that you could be carrying, no rest for your souls, you'll know. You'll know when it's gone. You will wake up and not feel so burdened like you have been. Number four, as we take a look, Jesus goes on and says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Something about learning what Jesus has for you, how that is, my bullet point is appropriate the resources God provides with gratitude. God has things for you. It's an amazing thing. I love that about the Lord. There's endless resources, let alone the church of the Lord Jesus. We miss one another. We miss gathering face to face. But the church really are people. You are the church. And it's an amazing thing to see how God resources us through people and through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. So we want to be careful about that, how we carry those burdens. Once again, God is here with us, and He's right there with you where you're watching and enjoying fellowship with us today. Remember, past, let it go. Let go of those regrets. Can't do anything about that. The present, let go of the stress. Wouldn't it be wonderful, you Christians, you baby Christians, to learn what it is to have a stress-free life and not stress people out that are in your life? You say, look, I feel so much more at peace. Why? What's the answer? Tell him it's Jesus. He's the one that said, come. Let's all gather around the Lord and let's pray together. It's interesting. And remember, the future, let go of the worry. We don't know what's going to happen with our current realities in the United States of America. But let's be prepared. God knows. Wouldn't you like to be so close to the Lord today that you know enough that God's going to show you or reveal to you things to expect? He does things that way. I love that area. So I want to encourage you once again. Let's remember, how do you know if you're carrying a burden that maybe God doesn't want? You'll wake up every morning. It may be a burden. A burden, sometimes people dealing with substance abuse. Maybe overindulgence with areas of just inappropriate sex. Maybe things of just burden of things that you know it's time to give it up. And when you wake up in the morning, you'll be set free. That's what we're believing for. That's what we're trusting for. I believe God has that for you right now. Matter of fact, we're going to pray that the Lord will provide that wonderful reprieve of the burdens of the past or present or even the future, those baggage elements that you and I could be carrying. I'm going to invite Ainsley back up here. We're going to be praying here as we bring this message. Still very much apart, but now it's time to pray. Are you ready to pray? Could you just gather everybody that is watching and just say, hey, we're going to pray, everybody. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Come on around. Let's pay attention. Let's watch what's going on and watch the power of God move right now. Move right now. Ainsley, I'm glad that you're here. We're so glad. We were just believing in and anticipation of God doing a marvelous work. We started off realizing there's so many dedicated, hardworking moms, wives, and we know men as well. The burden that men have because some cannot remedy the issues that they're facing currently. They're challenged. We're fixers as men. We want something to happen. And if we can't bring a solution or a conclusion, we feel stressed out about that, pressured that it's all up to us. I think God's going to give us a breakthrough.
Yes, I believe that He is. And what a privilege it is to pray and to bring things to the Lord. He invites us. In fact, the very passage you are reading is, He says, come to me, come to me, and then let me teach you, which would imply that we stay with Him. Yeah. So let's come to Him this morning with the things that are concerning us. So many people have let us know their concerns, and we have those in front of us and are faithful to pray for those things. Encourage you even to take time to go ahead and write your request. See us at hopechapelhb.org. And put in your prayer request and let us be praying for you. But we want to pray for you even now.
Yeah, amen.
And so let's do that. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the invitation to come. We thank you for the invitation to come and to take everything that concerns us, whether it's a regret, it's a stress, it's a worry, it's a sickness. It is an emotional torment. It is an addiction. It doesn't matter what it is. Lord, we bring those things to you right now, and we give them to you. And Lord, we lay those things down, and we thank you for the privilege to get rid of the laundry bag, to get rid of these things that are weighing on us so heavily. And so for every person right now who's saying, Jesus, I'm going to trust you with this particular issue. In fact, why don't you even take that thing and picture it in your hand and say, Lord, I give it to you right now. You give that to him because he will take that for you. And Lord, we pray that now as you are receiving those things from the hands and the hearts of people, we ask, Lord, that you will take care of it. We believe you for healing. We believe you for freedom from addiction. We believe in you to take our stress and to take our worries. We give that to you, that you promised to take it. And so, Lord, we want to thank you. You're a good God. We thank you that you have reminded us to not worry about anything, but pray about everything. We thank you for the peace of God that then guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you that when we pray, you answer. And so, God, we thank you that even now you're taking care of things that mean so much to us. We thank you for your work in our families. We thank you for your work in our hearts. We thank you for your work in our marriages and in the lives of our children, our businesses, our communities. So, Lord, you're a good God. And we give these things to you and we release them. And we thank you, Lord, for carrying them for us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ainsley, I have a word of knowledge, and a word of knowledge, God reveals something about someone, and the insight was that there are those who are watching right now, and they feel, can God remove the past so he can accept me, and that the performance of your life has felt like you cannot come to God. You're overwhelmed with remorse and guilt or shame. I want you to know, aren't we grateful for the cross? The love of God. Salvation comes by just coming to him. Salvation is not a salvation by works. You do not and are not, we are not acceptable to God on our own works of righteousness. Bible says it's no way. That's why Jesus came. If we could somehow make it on our own, Jesus would not have had to come on the cross for you or for me. So I want to just address you who are feeling like, will God accept me? Yes. Matter of fact, he brought it to our attention right now. If you will take that moment and just say, Lord, I'm coming with a boatload of stuff, like I did. Lord, I'm bringing it all. If you really do love me, like I hear, Lord, take all the good and so much of the bad. And I give my life to you right now. Matter of fact, Lord, we just pray that. And that those who are praying with us right now, say just that, Lord, I come, not just needing salvation, but that, Lord, a cleansing and a renewing. As your word says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any person is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have now become new. Lord, we speak that newness of heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. Only you can do that. Lord, a renewing and a saving for each and every one. In Jesus' name, praise God. Amen. Well, I'm so grateful that we've had this time. And the topic, once again, is really addressed for all of us, but especially for you who are learning what it is to present so much of your life to God and walk in newness, but rest, even in times of uncertainty, rest for the weary. Well, I want to just encourage you, if God continues to do something for you, would you let us know? We'd love to hear how God is moving in your life and in your home. And we also want to know how we can help you and in your life and in your home. That's what everybody needs, a local church and especially a pastoral team. Say, we want to be that. We love you. We miss each and every one of you. We want to personally just thank you who are watching from a distance, so many of you who are watching in other nations. And we want to thank you for joining us today here in Huntington Beach, California. Let me part you with a blessing from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye. I want to thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach today. It's our desire to share the teachings of Hope Chapel globally and to hear how they empower others to follow Jesus. If today's message encouraged you to follow Jesus, we want to know. You can email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. If you'd like to support us financially, you can give online securely at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can mail that check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. We hope that you would be interested in having us contact you. You can subscribe to our newsletter by going online at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. I want to thank you, and God bless you.